Our final scripture lesson this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. You can find this on page 1830 of your Pew Bibles. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, sisters and brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. That is such a lovely passage. So, of course, because it's a lovely passage, I had to read something wrong with it. If any of you have heard my annual rants about Away in a Manger, you know who I am. You know me. You've known me for longer than 15 seconds. So, as I read this passage, I read verse 6, and it just, the second I read it, I want to look at Paul, and I want to grab him by whatever garment he happens to be wearing. I want to say, really? We're telling parents in the children's hospital rooms to not be anxious about everything. That's what we're saying today. And I have to admit, I love my worry and anxiety. I wear it like a badge of honor. Most anxious, most worrisome. I once was told this thing, worry is like a rocking chair. It doesn't get you anywhere, but it sure feels good. And you know, I would rock in that rocking chair until I wore ruts in the floor. I love it. But despite knowing who I am, and despite having that self-awareness, I have to say the first thing that came into my mind was starving people. And as I was looking for the other passages for this week, that passage from Matthew came across my mind, and it just struck me. And I wanted to ask the Lord, really, that's what we're going to talk about? And the same week that I talked to Ashley, the director of Foundations First, about how they have children that come that do not have adequate clothing. And the same week that I had somebody come to this building in need of food because they had none. And just this passage from Matthew, we're going to feed the birds and we're going to clothe the flowers, but there are people here that don't have those things. And I just wanted to scream. And I have this thing that if something bothers me in a passage, lean into it and eventually a solution will pop out. And I will admit at 9:30 last night, that solution hadn't popped out yet. If I seem a little tired because it was a long night. But I realized the thing with this passage, I didn't do the exegesis on the Matthew passage. You're just going to have to let that one sit with you. But on the Paul passage, there's more than this than meets the eye. And that's the problem with only reading 5 verses, is there's so much that gives you some indication of the conditions of this church. Subtlety and nuance and context will set us free. almost always. And this one, the Philippian church is incredibly generous. Paul loves this church. He does. And part of the reason he loves them is because they are so generous. They are one of the first churches that financially supports Paul's ministry. They get it. If you read 2 Corinthians, Paul is yelling at the Corinthians for thinking that they're somehow being treated less, but they're not giving anything to the ministers. Paul's ministry in Corinth is being supported by churches like the church in Philippi. This church gets it. They generously support. It's like supporting your mission workers. They generously get it. And they just give it. And something missing from this letter is an admonition for letting people starve. I think that's important. You look at 1 Corinthians, and Paul is mad because the Corinthian church is letting poor people go hungry. Not a problem in Philippi. So if that's not the anxiety that Paul is talking about, then what is Paul talking about? What is Paul pointing them at? And to do this, we need to talk a little bit about Philippi. Philippi is basically a retirement village for Roman generals, Roman military officers. It's basically a retirement village, which means they are absolutely worshiping the state religion. They are absolutely, I don't like calling it the imperial cult, because that place is up. We're calling them a cult and us a religion. That doesn't feel right to me. But that's what every academic source I read called it, was the imperial cult. That's what this city is worshiping at. When Paul was in Philippi, Paul cast a demon out of a girl and got arrested and beaten. And then they realized he was a Roman citizen and they couldn't do that. And things went poorly. The only reason Paul probably survived his time in Philippi is because he was a Roman citizen. When Paul writes this letter, he's in jail. Four times he mentions chains. He is imprisoned when he writes this letter. He is writing this letter as an encouragement to the Philippian church, because persecution and suffering has come their way and is going to continue to come their way. This is a church whose existence is threatened, who cannot worship safely, fully, and it's going to get worse. The city of Philippi had no use for this church. They went against everything that the Romans wanted in this city. And so when Paul is telling the Philippians to not be anxious, it's to not be anxious about the suffering that will come. And it's not even to not be upset about it or angry about it, but don't worry about it. What's going to happen is going to happen. Worrying about it is not going to change this at all. All your anxiety will do is stop you from living a faith-filled life. That's it. As the passage in Matthew says, who by worrying can add a day to their life? We can take days away from our lives by worrying and harming our hearts and harming our minds, but we cannot add to our life through our anxiety and our worry. This is an encouragement. Keep the faith. Keep the strength. Do not allow persecution to stop you from doing what you know is right. And know that at the end, after all of this, after this period of suffering, after this period of persecution, at the end, when you leave this place, there's something better for you waiting on the other side. And I have to wonder if Paul himself isn't thinking about that other side. There's a verse at the beginning of the letter that he says, I'm actually going to look it up. I was just going to paraphrase it, but I'm like, I'm going to get it wrong. Philippians 1. It's in the manuscript. Something about, it doesn't matter if he lives or dies. Somebody has the manuscript, they can yell at me otherwise. If he lives or dies. And he's looking forward to death because death on the other side means he's with Christ. But he still has work to do here. But I feel like death is on Paul's mind too. Death is coming to him. I'm not sure when. He's not sure when. But he feels like death is coming to him. That's the impression that I get. Do not be anxious about this suffering. The suffering's going to come when it comes. Your anxiety will only stop you. So what does that mean for us? So many of us, actually, I would guess most of us, if not all of us, have no idea what persecution is. We have no frame of reference for it. The hardest thing about me getting to this building today was getting up on time to finish the manuscript so I could get dressed and get over here on time. That was the most difficult thing about my morning. There were no mobs waiting to kill me. There were no armed men saying, you cannot preach or you must preach this thing. None of that happened. The worst part of getting here for most people was concern that the roads might be slick. No one's stopping you from entering the building. I'm not watching that door, waiting for someone to come in and arrest us all, throw us into cages. It's not a thing that we understand. So we get anxious about weird things. We get anxious and angry and feel like it's persecution when people say happy holidays instead of Merry Christmas. Like, that's the sort of stuff that we get worried about. It hasn't happened in a couple years, but I'm waiting for it to happen again. One year, when Starbucks didn't have a Christmas theme holiday cup, mind you, not a Christian Christmas theme, just a Christmas theme holiday cup. And then the next year, they just had a holidays theme holiday cup. People said we should boycott Starbucks because they stopped doing a Christmas theme holiday cup. And really, our Christmas isn't even like our Christmas. It's pagan Christmas that we co-opted hundreds of years ago. These are the things that we get anxious about and worried about. We get mad because other religions either want no religious symbols in our government buildings or their religious symbols to be in our government buildings too. We get angry about that. We worry about that. We get anxious about that. And we get anxious about our dwindling numbers. We get anxious about our budget. We get anxious about all of these things, and I am just as guilty. How many anxious, sleepless nights did I spend over the last couple years worrying about the budget, worrying about the fact that people left this church? Like, we're not even worrying about the people who have passed away, the people who have left since I've started here. And that anxiety does not do anyone any good. It stops us from doing what we know to be right. We get a persecution complex when things, we're not the exceptional, the one that gets special privilege. We would have no idea how to live as Christians in the world that the church in Philippi received this letter. We need to let that anxiety go. Stop worrying so much about the church and if we get special privilege. And look solely at our call in Christ. Thursday's Thanksgiving, which is also one of my favorite holidays. And unlike you, I actually spend time in the kitchen. I will spend a lot of time in the kitchen on Thursday. But it is a time to be thankful. So let us focus not so much on what we don't have or what could be, and be thankful for the love of our Savior that we have received. And we go into Advent, which is a period of anticipation for our Savior. So let's celebrate that we have something to anticipate. To not feel anxious about the state of the church, the budget, the membership, and just celebrate that we have this space, this beautiful space with the craftsmanship of multiple people in this building. I just celebrate the love of our Savior. Let the anxiety go and give thanks. Amen.